也没害怕因素者 And I'm on the battlefield I am a fighting soldier And I'm on this battlefield I am a hard-fighting soldier And I'm on this battlefield I will keep on bringing souls to Jesus By the service that I give You are the helmet on my head In my hand a sword and shield I got a helmet on my head In my hand a sword and shield I got a helmet on my head In my hand a sword and shield I'll keep on bringing souls to Jesus By the service that I give You gotta walk right and talk right and pray And pray right long on this battlefield You gotta walk right and talk right and sing right And pray right while on this battlefield Oh, you gotta walk right and talk right Sing right and pray right on this battlefield I keep on bringing souls to Jesus by the service that I give. I am a hard-fighting soldier, and I'm on this path. Oh, I am a hard-fighting soldier, and I'm on this battlefield. I am a hard-fighting soldier. And I'm on this battlefield I'll keep on bringing souls to Jesus By the service that I give You gotta walk right and talk right And pray right while on this battle Oh, you gotta walk right and And pray right while on this battle This battlefield I'll keep on bringing souls to Jesus by the service that I give
Amen
There's a land that is better
Hallelujah
And by faith we can say it
Waits for us
to prepare us a dwelling place.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore. We shall sing on the beautiful
We will sing
the melodious songs of the place And our spirits shall sorrow no
They will sorrow no more
The blessing of
in the sweet
by and by We shall make Bountiful Father, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His.
Hallelujah!
The blessing that hallowed
In the sweet,
by and by. We shall meet on the beautiful in the sweet, in the sweet. By and by, we shall look on the beautiful shore. By and by, by and by, when the morning we will sit in a storm. How we overcome, we will be in a storm. How we overcome, we will understand it better by it. Whoa, we are often deaf and driven off the things our life demands. On the skies and hollowing temples of succeeded bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand better by it. By and by and by, when the morning comes, we will pray. Since old God are gathered up, we will tell a story how we overcome. We will understand it better by and by. We are often destitute for the things our life demands. Want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. We will think in the Lord and according to His word. We will understand it better by and by and by, by and by. In over sin, oh, in our gathered hope, we will tell a story. Understand it better by and by. Temptations eat us snares, often take us on our ways. And our hearts are made to bleed for many goodness for a day. And we wonder why the taste when we try to do our best. But we'll understand it better by and by and by, by and by. Amen. Trust and obey. Hallelujah. That's all He wants. Trust and obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way.
Hallelujah.
Really good. Oh, His will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey. Oh, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can,
not a shadow, not a cloud in the skies, but the smile quickly drives it away.
Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a can abide while we trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey. Oh, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and
and will be. Not a burden we,
oh, not a sorrow we share, but our toil thee doth richly repay. Not a grief for a loss, not a frown on the cross, but the faith we trust. Oh, trust and obey. Oh, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
What we never can do, the delights of His love, until all on the altar we lay for a favor,
for a favor that joy He bestows. Ah, with them who will trust and oh,
trust and obey. Oh, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. Saints, would you greet you this evening in Jesus' name? Let's open our Bibles. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. It's not too many people out tonight. Sometimes you wonder, the greater the blessing of the services you have, the less people come next service. You know, it's a strange thing. I would have thought it's the opposite. And when you have really wonderful time on the weekend, you would think it would boost people. It's a mystery to me that I don't understand. I really just desire it if the Lord does something for me, that you desire to keep the momentum going. That you desire to keep the fire going. And the best way is to fellowship with the saints, to be faithful in the post of duty, to be in His house. That's the best way to keep the Lord kindling the flame inside of you. Matthew 6 verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Let's also read Luke chapter 3, just to give a couple of examples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21. Luke 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Let's also read Luke 6 one more time, when Jesus was going to choose the 12. Luke 6 verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated, saints. We just want to speak about prayer, just the principles of prayer once again, but especially the principles that Jesus himself taught us. You know, if you looked through all history and you looked at any person that you would think didn't need to pray, it was Jesus. If you really think of it, would Jesus really be somebody that you think would have to pray? But the whole life of Jesus is, if you read the scriptures, read the gospels, how many times Jesus prayed. Jesus was a man of prayer. Now there was something about him, because Jesus had the days of his flesh just as much as us. The prophet says, if Jesus had to pray earnestly, how much more will we have to pray earnestly?
If you think of him, he didn't have some of the infirmities that we have. Jesus never had to pray and say, Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. Because he never trespassed. Jesus never had to pray many of the things that we need to pray because of our infirmities. Because Jesus didn't have some of the weaknesses that we do in that sense. But Jesus, being a mortal man, he was a man of prayer. And nobody has to tell you that Jesus was a man of prayer. The fruits of his life, you can see by the way that he spoke. You can see by the way he faced trial and temptation. You can see by his victory in every situation. You can see by his wisdom in the decisions that he made. When he says, I always do that which pleases my Father, it's only possible to have a testimony like that if you're a prayerful person. If you're not prayerful, you can never ever seek to attain that spiritual essence that Jesus had, which continued to bring down the blessings of God on his life. And not only did the blessings come down on Jesus, but it was the fruits that came from that blessing. So you can see it. You know, the prophet says the same thing. You know, we've seen it, we've quoted it many times from Hear His Voice. When the prophet says, my wife was sitting next to one of those Amish women last night. And she came and said to me after, said, Bill, you could tell that woman had been with Jesus. Because her eyes were clear. Her spirit was sweet. There was something about her, the prophet says. She must have shut herself in with God with her Bible in prayer. In the sweetness of things. Now, nobody had to tell anybody that that was someone that had been prayerful. The fruits of a prayerful life are apparent to all. Nobody had to tell. Moses never had to tell anybody where he had been when he came down from the mount. After that long communion and fellowship with God, and his face shone with the glory of God until he didn't even realize that his face shone like that. But that was the attribute of spending communion in that kind of a place. That was the attribute of a life that was spent much in communion and prayer. And friends, if Jesus led the way, and I mean, he taught us about prayer, and he showed us about prayer. And Jesus will see it whenever he came to any junction in his life, any important place in his life where there were decisions to be made or trials to be faced up to. If there was any spiritual warfare or, you know, anything which required him to overcome his humanity, anything that challenged him as a mortal man, anything that put pressure upon his being a human being, he would never ever continue on until first he had really gone and spent time in prayer. And I mean, I don't think any of us are as busy as Jesus was. I mean, the Bible says many times he didn't even have time to eat. Imagine the disciples came and he was so busy many times he didn't have time to eat. No, he had to separate himself, hide away from people many times. So he was far busier than any of us are. But he still managed in that kind of a life to spend so much time in prayer. And that was the great secret of the life of Jesus, is that he was a man of prayer. And you can tell that he prayed the type of prayer that obtains the blessing. He prayed that kind of prayer that always would bring forth the results. Because friends, so much of what you call prayer isn't real prayer. So much of what you pray is just mumbling and it's just noise. But the Bible would say that Jesus prayed to God. You know, when Jesus was praying, he was praying to God. No, it was communion between him and God. It was communication between him and God. You know, it wasn't just, it's my time of prayer, I need to go and pray. But it was a certain type of prayer, that there was a communion and a fellowship. There was a spiritual reality in the prayer that he prayed. You find when it says it there in Luke 6, when it says Jesus, when he prayed all night, and the Bible says, and he prayed to God. You know, another translation said, he prayed with God. I like that. I said, that's what real prayer is. Praying is not just praying to God, but praying is praying with God. Once you're praying with God, something's going to take place in that prayer. That prayer is going to achieve something. Because the Bible says we don't know how to pray as we ought. But it's the Holy Ghost that has to quicken us and lead us and guide us and burden us in prayer. Because we don't know the right petitions to make. We don't know the right approach. We don't know what's maybe required in that kind of a season. But if we can catch the mind of the Spirit, that's the secret. It's the same as when you're reading your Bible. If you can catch the mind of the Spirit. Now, what is it that the Lord has on His mind for you? And sometimes it takes a lot of prayer to get yourself out the way. Not to let all your thoughts and your humanity and all your restless spirit get still before the Lord. And then maybe you had tried to read this and you tried to read that, or you tried to listen to this message, or you tried to listen to that. And although all that you read and all that you listened to was truth, but it wasn't the mind of the Spirit concerning your situation at your time. But when you get to a certain place inside of your soul, the prophet says, when you get still, when you get quiet, then you catch the mind of the Spirit. Our friends, that's what we need. We need to know the mind of the Spirit. You need to know the mind of the Spirit concerning the decisions that are before you. If you're thinking about your future, you're thinking about what your future holds. You wanted to get married. You wanted to do your studies. You wanted to pursue whatever. Don't make any decisions until first you find the mind of the Spirit. Amen. The prophet says you need to pray through. Praying through means you prayed until you come to a conclusion. Until you come to an assurance that you can put your foot down and you know this is the mind of the Spirit concerning this situation. But so many times the mind of the Spirit is contrary to our mind. Now our own human spirit, it wants to assert itself. It wants to take control. It'll dress itself up in religion. It'll clothe itself in all different scriptures and terminology. But it's still self that is in control. And prayer is the great, great acid test of these things. Because if you are in control, you're not going to pray much with God. You might pray towards the heavens. You may say a lot of things which you call as prayer. But it takes a certain attitude inside of your soul. There's got to be a willingness to give in. There's got to be a desire to be led. You've got to have a sheep-like spirit. Bring yourself into that sort of a condition once again. And then you'll find the dove will come every time. The dove will come and fellowship with you. The dove will come and speak to you. The Lord will come and give you precious and sweet communion. In the secret closet when you get yourself into that kind of a condition. But let me tell you the truth, friends. Without prayer, it's impossible to get into that condition. You can never read the Bible enough to get into that condition. Because that's reading. You must read your Bible. It's not listening to messages that puts you in that condition, as important as that is. But it's prayer. And the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, though He was God in flesh, He demonstrated and showed us in His life that He would never make a major decision. He would never face up to a temptation. He had never entered into a season of trial inside of His life without special seasons and times of prayer. Though He prayed all the time. You know, Jesus' life, He was praying without ceasing. But whenever it would come to those junctions in life, those junctions in time, Jesus would separate Himself for special time of prayer. He would shut Himself in the closet. And He would seek the face of His Father. And His Father, whose face He sought in secret, would always answer Him openly. And friends, that's the kind of life that we need. As Brother Howard was saying last week, as we come to the end, as we see the economies of the world are shaking, friends, as we see Russia flexing its muscles, and as we see it gaining ground, as we see America going deeper and deeper into apostasy and shame and all the different things which they're doing, friends, it's hastening to an end. It's hastening to a conclusion. For some time it was going just at a certain pace. But to anybody who has any mind of the Spirit in this season, you can sense it inside of your soul that things are hastening to an end. There's a quickening of the evil that's taken place in this world. And therefore, there'll also be a quickening in heavenly places. Because whenever this enemy comes in like a flood, God's going to release an anointing. God's going to raise a standard. But we've got to respond. The world is responding. They're going around with their rainbow flags. and the press and all that, they're all supporting the rainbow flag. Yeah? And the people now are yielding to that spirit or submitting themselves, giving themselves over to that anointing. Maybe before they had other ideas, the general population, they had their own will and own way of seeing these things. But Satan has released an anointing. And the world has yielded to that anointing. And that anointing is quickening them to fill up the cup of iniquity. So how much more in the spiritual realm is he going to continue to release that anointing to quicken us so that we can finish our portion as well? So that we can finish on our side what the world is hastening unto to finish on their side. But friends, outside of a prayerful life, outside of prayer, you're never going to make it. You're never going to overcome the conditions of this day. It's not your good intentions. No, it's not your ceremonies. It's not your sincerity, as good as all those things are. But what it takes is a certain essence, a certain spiritual condition inside of your heart, which only comes through prayer, which only comes through genuine communion with the Lord. When you give Him sufficient time to use the power of transformation and to do something inside of you. But the prophet says the problem is we don't stay there long enough. You know, we become believers. We go and we get baptized, but we don't do what Jesus did. Let's have a look at this first time we find Jesus when the Bible speaks that he prayed. It's when he was baptized. Look in Luke 3 verse 21 again. Look how Jesus approached baptism. This was the great junction in his life. This was him entering into his ministry now as the Messiah, as the Son of Man. He had been born, the Messiah, but now was the time for him to go into this junction of life. And that which he had been ordained unto, that which he had been called unto, it was time now for him to fulfill that. And how did Jesus approach it? Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heavens were opened. You said the problem with us many times, you've got to get baptized, but you're not praying. We don't pray sufficiently before. We don't pray sufficiently while we're being baptized. We don't pray sufficiently after. And that's how we wonder why we don't receive the same blessing. We don't receive the same response from heaven that Jesus received from heaven. Because the moment that he went, you know, friends, whenever we're facing up to anything sacred, anything which the Lord maybe enlarges your service, maybe the Lord calls you to his service. Maybe he calls you to be his son. He calls you to be his daughter. Maybe he calls you to an office in the house of God. He calls you to a ministry. And it comes to that stage that you can see the Lord is calling you to enter into some kind of a ministry. Maybe the Lord is calling you to sing a special, to use your gifts for the glory of God. Maybe the Lord is using in whatever way that it's going to be. I think, friends, we need to be very prayerful at such times. I think we need to so much consecrate ourselves before we partake of the natural aspect of what we do. So much of what blessing is going to come upon what we do is determined by how we approach that very thing. We can quite easily just get used to the things of God. I've always feared that. I've always tried to fight that in my own life, is that I'll never ever come here to the pulpit getting used to this pulpit. I always want to come here being nervous the whole day, the days before I come, knowing, Lord, I'm trying to find your mind. Lord, what is your purpose? Lord, what is your desire? You never want to get to the stage, friends, we get presumptuous in the things of God. That because we've been doing it for some time now, we approach it in some different kind of a way. I think if God has blessed a certain approach to you, if he's shown you the right way to approach the things of God, let that be an absolute to you. Let that be a measure stick. If it's brought the blessings of God down in the years gone by, you know, don't change anything. Just be even more sincere. Just approach the things in a more sacred kind of a way. Because it's our approach to the things that determines the blessing that's going to come upon them. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came now to his baptism, he was praying, he was prayerful. You can imagine him the days before that praying. Because he knew now this was a great junction in his ministry. This is where things were going to be, that he was just going to not just be Jesus of Nazareth, but he was going to be Jesus the Christ. He was going to be the anointed one. The dove was going to come. The fullness of the Godhead was going to come. And, Now, power for service was going to come, and he was going to be led straight into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So I'm sure at that junction of time, Jesus, he spent a lot of time in prayer. And even as he was baptized, he was in prayer. Straight as he went in. And I love the way that the scripture speaks about it. When it says, the heavens were opened. Our friends, when you do something the right way, if you go into the waters of baptism the right way, the way that Jesus did, God has no respect of persons. If the heavens were opened when Jesus approached it the right way, prayerfully, you approach anything to do with the kingdom of God, the heavens are going to be opened. If you take your Bible to read it, and you consecrate yourself, and you're prayerful in what you do, the heavens are going to be opened when you read the word. When you listen to the messages, if we approach it, that this is, you know, it's not just a habit or a routine, but you're wanting to hear from heaven, and we approach the message that kind of a way, the heavens are going to be opened as well. And that's why many times you can come to service, and you can see other people are being blessed, but you're not being blessed. Sometimes you need to backtrack and have a look at your approach. Have a look at your preparation. How did you prepare yourselves for the sacred service of even just coming into his house, desiring to hear from the Lord? But there's other times you'll come into the house of the Lord, and even on the way, you'll feel the blessing. You'll feel the quickening power inside of your soul. You don't even need to get into the house of the Lord for the song leader to try to work you into the spirit of worship. You're already in the spirit of worship. You've been prayerful. You've prepared yourself. You've come already anointed. You didn't come to the house of the Lord to be anointed. You came anointed to the house of God. And in those kind of times, friends, that's when you receive the blessing. That's how when the minister gets in the pulpit, the heavens are going to open. And something supernatural is going to take place. God is going to start to unveil things. God is going to start to reveal things. God is going to start doing things, opening up heavenly places to you. And you're going to say, my, that was such a blessing. Well, God did something for me. Well, learn a lesson from that. What did you do? How did you approach things that way? Why did God specifically bless you at that time? Let that be a standard and a measure stick for you. Let that be something now that you set as a spiritual standard, that by the grace of God for the services to come, all the days of your flesh, the days of your mortality, say, Lord, if you help me, if I can just approach the things of God that way. And the song leader, the musicians, the same thing. Now the prophet says, he says, I was out today, they were repairing my car. He said, the mechanic took so long. He said, I had to rush, get back home. He said, I hardly had any time to get in the word. He says, I don't like to come here rushed. He says, otherwise you can't find the Spirit anywhere. Imagine the prophet being a prophet saying that. Saying, I can't find the Spirit if I come rushed, if I come hurried from home. But friends, when you prepare. When you don't start preparing for Sunday service on Sunday, but you start on Saturday. You're already thinking of Sunday service. If you're going to give an item, it starts even before that. Now the song leader, he starts before that. Now any minister that starts preparing for the next service as soon as you finish this service. That's the way that it's got to be, because it's a call to service. It's a call to serve him, friends. And when we serve the Lord, we offer him the choice portion. We offer him the best. We want to make sure that our sacrifice is good and right and pleasing before him. That's what you desire when we approach him. So the Bible says that the heavens being opened. Yeah? And what does it say then? That the Holy Ghost descended upon him. So when he came to his baptism, having been spiritually prepared, the heavens were opened. And now the very thing that he was requiring now for this next junction in his life, he's needing power for service. He's going to need to get out there and face the devil in the wilderness face to face. He needs power for service. So when he approaches it the right way, God meets him right in the act of what he's doing. Heaven is open. The Holy Ghost comes down. He receives power for service. And the Bible says he was praying while he was baptized. Maybe he was saying, Father, I'm consecrating myself to you. Father, I'm giving myself completely into your hands. Father, without you, I can do nothing. Father, open the heavens. Let the Holy Ghost come down. Father, come and overshadow me. Lord, Father, come and take control. Father, come and show me, come and quicken me. And while he's praying, what happens? The answer comes immediately. Here comes a voice from heaven. While he's in the water praying, there comes a voice from heaven immediately. Friends, don't you want those kind of prayers? That you get into a certain place and as you're praying, the voice comes to you and there's the answer to your prayer. Ah, friends, that's real prayer. That's prayer that changes things. That's prayer that the devil finds very hard to overcome a person praying that kind of a prayer. Because Jesus prayed through. His prayer reached right into the heavens, opened the heavens, and the heavens responded to his prayer. That was genuine prayer. Because of the way he was approaching the post of duty. The way he was approaching the sacred junction in the path of life that was set before him. He never just approached it as another day. That's how many people, we see them go to the waters of baptism and there's no blessing. We find after a while, they don't have any power. Friends, the secret is your prayer life. The way you approach baptism and the way you approach things after baptism is to pray. Is to pray until you pray through. Is to pray until you get to that stage that the heavens are open to you. Friends, that is what the absolute is. The absolute is when you meet him. That's the absolute. That's those sacred sands that the prophet speaks about. Where God meets the soul of somebody who's seeking him. And the prophet says, God will do something for you on those sands that no critic can take away. No false doctrine will move you from that place. Doesn't matter if everybody fall away in the message. You've got your own place that you made God. When your trials and your temptations come, you know where to go. It's not going to a person. It's going to a sacred place. It's getting yourself in the closet and you're shutting the door. And you're approaching those sacred sands once again. Because you know you met him there. Look in Luke chapter 6, when Jesus now comes to the next big junction in his ministry, that he needs to choose his disciples. You know, it's the next stage. He himself, for these last three chapters, is the only one preaching the message. But now it's time he wants to send out 12, then he wants to send out 70. But when he's coming to this, the furtherance of the ministry needs to grow, he's not going to enter this without prayer. And that's why it says it in chapter 6, in verse 12, it came to pass in those days. And whenever the Bible says in those days, there was something taking place in those days. It was a certain season in time. Let me ask you, what's happening in these days in your life? You know, is your prayer life, is my prayer life matching up with what's happening in these days that we're going through? Because Jesus looked at the condition of those days. He looked at the spiritual requirement of those days. He looked at what was required of him in those days. He looked at what was needed for the church of God in those days. And he responded accordingly. In those days, it says that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Oh, friends. He continued all night in prayer. He's been preaching and praying for the sick the whole day. He hasn't had a chance to get into the secret closet. He's offered many prayers on behalf of people, I'm sure, while he's prayed for them. And when he's prayed and asked God's blessing upon the word that he's ministered to the people and so forth. But friends, our public prayers are not enough. The prayers you pray here this evening are never going to be enough. The prayer that you pray with your family before you sleep is never enough. Jesus says, when you pray, shut yourself in the secret closet. You've got to find a place that's a secret place where you're going to shut yourself away. Because we don't need distractions, friends. We need the mind of the Spirit. We need heavens to be open. And friends, if our minds are full of the activity of the world and the children are coming and they're playing around and you know, this and that's taken place in your life, how do you ever expect to really get to that place that the heavens can be open to you? You've got to find your secret closet. You've got to find some system inside of your life where you can separate yourself completely from the distractions of life. Separate yourself from the noise of the world, from the thoughts of this natural world, and get yourself to a place that you'll be there until you break through. You'll stay there until something takes place. The prophet says to his wife, he says, he has 20-something dollars. Tell the people at the public service company, I'm not coming back today. If I'm not back by the end of the week, let them put somebody else on the job. I can't continue living like this. I'm going out there to seek him, and I'm not coming back until I have an answer. Friends, we need that kind of Christian once again. We need those kind of believers that say, I'm going to go and pray, and I'm going to stay on my knees until I hear from heaven. I'm tired of living a lukewarm life. I'm tired of backwards and forwards and inwards and outwards. There's got to come a time where you say, I'm going to pray through this time. The prophet says, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they came and they were arrested and taken to the fiery furnace, he says, Shadrach maybe said to Meshach, I hope you've prayed through. He says, I hope you've prayed through. Because friends, you don't want to be praying in the midst of the trial, trying to break through in that kind of a season. When the squeeze comes upon the bride, you've got to know those sacred sands. You've got to know the way into the secret closet. You've got to know what it is to break through into the heavenly realm so that the heavens are open and the voice speaks from heaven. You've got to know that kind of an experience, that kind of an approach. And this is the time now we have to find that place. This is the time now we've got to perfect the way within the veil. So that when the season, when the trial comes through, we can look back. We can look back at an absolute and say, I know what's required now. Though this may be a Goliath, but I know the lion and the bear. I know the approach. I know how to bring the blessing of God down. I know how to overcome these kind of situations. But friends, it's never going to be intellectual faith that does it. It's never just going to be reading and reading and reading. Or listening and listening and listening. It needs you to go and pour out your soul in the secret closet. Because friends, there's things you can say in private prayer that you can't say in public prayer. When we pray here in front of people, you'll never be yourself. Listen what the prophet says in the message, Blind Bartimaeus. He says, you know, there's something about getting alone to yourself. Many people never pray until they come to church. Many people think the only place to pray is at church. But the Bible said for men to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. And then when we get by ourselves, we usually pray different than we would when we get to pray in church. Our friends, is a different kind of a prayer. Then you can be yourself. Then you can pour out your soul. Oh, the song says, sweet hour of prayer. How oft my soul has found relief and oft escaped the tempter's prayer by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. When you can go to that place that you can speak of your grief, you can speak of your woe, you can speak of your fears, you can speak of your challenges, you can tell the Lord your disappointments, you can tell the Lord your trials. You can't pray like that here. You shouldn't pray like that here. Because people will be listening to what you're saying. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, shut yourself in the secret closet. Don't be as the Pharisees who want to be seen to be mighty in prayer before the people, but you wonder what their prayer life was like when they weren't before the people. I'd rather stumble over my words here and be mighty with the Lord in prayer than say things here that make people excited, but it doesn't move heaven. Friends, it's the secret closet. That's the acid test. I'd sent it to some brothers, a little clip that one man once made called, what is it called? A man is judged by his prayer life or whatever. You are no greater than your prayer life. And that's the truth, that your prayer life is the true spiritual thermometer of your spiritual condition. It's not how well you can testify. It's not how well you can speak in front of people. That can be a gift, that can just be an anointing that comes at that time. But the true spiritual thermometer of the condition of your soul is your prayer life. If what access do you have to the throne? What nearness do you have to the throne of God? What sort of quickening power in your prayer? What sort of access? Are the heavens open to you in your prayer? Does a voice speak to you in your prayer? In a voice from the supernatural place? That's the real thing. Is our prayer lives. The prophet says, when we're praying like that, when you're praying on our own. There seems to be something to the prayer that takes all the hypocrisy out of it. You see, we can be hypocrites when you pray here. Lord, I love my brothers. Lord, I pray for each brother, pray for each sister. Yeah, but out there you're not praying for them. You see, but here in front of people, we can quite easily say a lot of great things. But the real test is, what are we saying out there? We can have hypocrisy here, friends. We can be Pharisees. But it's what we're praying, what's upon our heart, what we're pouring out before the Lord when we're in our secret closet, when no one is listening except for the Lord. That's who we really are. That's when we show who we really are. The prophet says, it seems like we get in a better connection with God to be alone. And there's been many times in my life, as perhaps in your life, that you just have to get alone once in a while with Jesus. I've taken my car and driven down the road and just studying, meditating. After a while, get to the highway where it was free or off on some country road until I'd be so filled with His mercies and goodness. I stopped the car, held the wheel and wept like a baby. Our friends, that's where you release your burdens. Casting all your cares upon Him. Because He cares for you. It's good for us to speak to one another, friends. It's good for us to pray for one another. But the Bible doesn't say casting all your care upon your brother. Or casting all your care upon your sister. It says casting all your care upon Him. Because He cares for you. Friends, that's the real solace. That's when you'll meet the real comforter. We can try to comfort you in measure. But we can never comfort you the way that He can comfort you. We can never minister to you personally to your soul the way that He can minister personally to your soul when you go and pour your soul out before Him. When you go and tell Him about your trials. That song says, I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear these trials alone. Ah, friends, there's some real sweet songs that those people who knew about prayer, they were inspired to pen. And friends, if we could just live the testimony of what those people sang about, what a blessed thing. The prophet says that being alone. Many times I've climbed up into the mountains where every man who was with me thought I was going hunting. Going up there, sitting down on a rock, just looking up to the sky. Until it looked like my whole innermost being was filled with something. Everything of the world seemed to pass away. Oh, for those precious hours alone with God. Friends, we can never substitute anything for that. We can never. And with this life we're in, Satan has built it in a certain way, has perfected his Eden to try to make everything against that. That if you're not disciplined, if you don't give the Lord the best, if you're not really disciplined in our approach, disciplined in our lives as believers, you will allow days and days and days to pass by and you haven't spent that precious, sweet, sacred time, that quality time with your soul in the presence of God. Because you can go in the strength of that kind of a communion for many days. Like Elijah when he ate the angel's food. He went in the strength of that bread for many days. And friends, those real times of prayer, of fellowship and communion, they'll keep you in the hour of trial. They'll give you the wisdom you need at the junctions in life. That's when God will be real and God will make Himself real. And you'll know the reality of the scripture. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. But friends, this mortal flesh, it'll find every reason and every excuse not to go there. It'll find every reason. I'm too busy. I don't have enough money. You know, I know I have to work. Sometimes, friends, you need to forget about work. Even if it means taking unpaid leave. For the sake of your soul, just to set aside a season inside of your life when you can see things are going in the wrong direction. And there's nothing that you're doing which is turning them around. You can just see the decisions that you're making them. God doesn't bless them. You look inside of your family, look inside of your home, look inside of your job. You see none of the blessings of God. You look inside of your own soul. There's no growth. There's no progress. There's just temptation. There's just evil that comes against you, friends. You've got to call a halt at some stage. You've got to be like the prophet when he told his wife, tell them, I'm not coming to work this afternoon. Friends, that's the real thing that we need. And when you seek him with all your heart, He will be found of you. It's not just that short little season in between other things in life. Your mind will be so confused and muddled up by the trials you're going through. But it's when you separate yourself and you tell your wife, you tell your children, whatever it is, you tell the people you're staying with, please, I'm shutting myself in. Don't disturb me. Don't bring me food. Don't bring me anything to drink. Just leave me. How long is it going to be? I'm going to be there until. I'm going to tarry until. Friends, it's not just going to pray for the sake of going to pray. You're going to pray because you need an answer. You're going to pray, you need a change. Jacob didn't just pray a few minutes and say, well, I said my prayers today. He stayed there until something came and changed him. Until the heavens were opened and the Lord came down and God did something for him. Friends, it's so important, and those, especially those junctions of life where you've got to make the big decisions, that you stay there until. I remember our pastor giving that advice to Brother George when he first came to the Lord. He said, Brother George, he was between jobs. He said, don't be in a rush to get a job. You go and spend time in the mountain and you stay there until you meet him. And friends, that's good advice to give to people, especially to our young people. You know, our young people are so busy on their phones and games and things like that, then they wonder why they have no reality of God. Because they never go and seek him. If you could turn that phone off for a couple of days and take out your Bible and take out the message, and you'd say to your mom and your dad, ask your father, say, Dad, what do you think I should listen to? And let your dad give you some messages to listen to. Then you go and shut yourself in your bedroom. Or you come to the church during the weekdays. And you come and you shut yourself in. And you listen and you pray. And you listen and you pray. And you let the word feed your prayer. And let prayer quicken the word. And you'll build yourself into such a condition that you'll never want to leave that place. You won't want to go back out there to that atmosphere once again. Because the heavens will be open and you will experience heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And you will have your own testimony that I know there's a God because I sought him and I found him. I know there's a God. I sought him and heaven was opened. And something took place. There was a supernatural something took place. And the good thing about it, the next time you have trouble in your life, you know exactly what needs to be done. Because you've been there before. You know the way to the throne of grace. You're not going to be panicking and rushing and asking this person or asking that person. You're going to just get yourself before the Lord. Let other voices be stilled. And you're going to seek the voice from the supernatural place. You're going to seek to know the mind of the Spirit, the mind of God concerning your situation. But it needs time alone with God. There's nothing can substitute for that in the life of a believer. That's why this generation of believers, I spoke to Brother George Martin, he said the same thing there. He says this current generation of believers, they don't consecrate themselves in prayer like that. They don't fast and pray until they experience and receive something. It's just coming to church and praying a little bit in church and maybe reading a couple of verses in the day. Those things are good. But that's not the way that Jesus showed us how to do it. He didn't do that himself. And if Jesus, being the perfect man, who had no sin, if he at each of these junctions in his life set himself apart for special seasons of prayer, how much more you and I? How much more you and I? And I'm sure if you and I look back in our lives, I can say to my shame, every time you've got seasons in your life where you look back and it's an uncomfortable season to think about, go and examine your prayer life at that time. Every time you got in trouble, you got in trial when you were overcome, go and have a look at your prayer life before that. And you will see the Lord warned you before. The Lord tried to quicken you before. The Lord tried to stir you up before. God tried to prepare you by quickening you in prayer. But you put other things ahead of the Lord. And then you went into the trial and you didn't have the whole armor of God. You didn't have the spiritual armor on at that time. And friends, God allows us to do it so that we learn a lesson. Let's learn lessons from those things, friends. In these seasons of trial, these seasons of grief. Let's enter these things prayerfully. Let's do what the Lord says. Look how the prophet says in finishing off. He says it's there that when the greatest revelations and inspiration comes, it's when we are alone with God. If we would take more time on that, I'm sure we would live a better life. We'd be more victorious Christians in Christ. That's the secret, friends. It's no complicated something. Jesus showed us the way. Jesus says, when you pray. He said, when you fast. Those are things that he spoke about. He says, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, you know, who want to be seen of men. He says, but when you fast, anoint yourself. Don't let people know what you're doing. But you shut yourself in with God. And I'd really say, especially to the young people, fasting is a very powerful weapon in the armor of any of the sons and daughters of God. That whenever you come into times of decision, times of trial, times where you're struggling with something that you can't overcome, the Bible says, if any is afflicted, let him pray. And if you find your normal prayer isn't raising a standard in your life to conquer that temptation, to conquer that spirit, Jesus says certain kinds of spirits only come out with prayer and fasting. It takes a certain kind of a desperation. It puts a certain spiritual essence inside of your soul. When you humble yourself like that and you pray with fasting, it does something to you that brings the blessing of God down. That God comes down and responds to you and to me whenever we pray those kinds of prayers. Now that's why with Jesus, we'll just finish with this thought of when he went and he went out to the mountain alone. Let's look at the first things. Firstly, he chose the place carefully. He went into the mountain. Why? He wanted to be on his own. He didn't need distractions at that time. It was important, it was vitally important that he got it right. So he wanted to separate himself completely. He didn't go with his disciples. He didn't go with anybody else. He went far above the hustle and bustle of life until he completely separated himself away. He chose it. He went into a mountain to pray. He also went there so that he could pray freely, so that he could pray everything that was inside of his heart. Friends, it's times like that where we need to be in a place where we can cry before the Lord, we can weep before the Lord, we can repent before the Lord, we can rebuke the enemy, we can do whatever and not be worrying about people next door or people who are going to hear the things that we're saying. But you found some kind of a secret place that God answers you from, that kind of a place. The final thing which you find about when he went out there to pray, like I say, he went to pray to God. You know, there was a communion when he prayed. The Bible says he prayed to God. It's that kind of a prayer that when you start praying, there's quickening in your prayer. That you know the Lord is hearing, heaven is hearkening to what you're saying. He got into that kind of a prayer. But sometimes that kind of a prayer doesn't come easy. That kind of a prayer doesn't come straight away. When you've been out of the spirit of prayer, you've got to get yourself back in. Because you're going to come and pray and there's going to be a lot of distraction. You're going to pray 5 minutes and your mind's going to be somewhere else. Then maybe you need to get in the word a little bit. Then you pray once again and maybe you'll pray a little bit more. And you build yourself up in prayer once again until finally you break into that realm of genuine reality when the heavens are open to you and God comes down and prepares you and answers you or does whatever that it is. And at this season, what is Jesus doing? He was praying concerning the ministry. He was praying for the 12. He was praying for the 70. He had already called them. He had already chosen Matthew. He had already chosen Peter. He knew much of what it was that needed to be done. So he wasn't just praying to know who should be his disciples, but he was praying for his disciples. He was praying saying, Lord, Father, when I send them forth, let them be anointed by you. Father, when they go forth, protect them. Deliver them from false doctrine. Deliver them from the leaven of the Pharisees. Father, when they go forth, let them not be discouraged by persecution. Let them not be discouraged by the things which this ministry is going to lead them into. Those were the things that he was praying for. Because remember, he said to Peter, he said, Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired you to sift you as wheat. But I've already prayed for you. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Friends, that's the kind of prayer that he was praying. He didn't just pray and then send them out, but he prayed and he interceded for them. And in John 17, he interceded for us. He interceded, Father, I pray not only for them, but I pray for them that shall believe on their word. And that's for us. That, Father, they may be where I am, that they may be also. And friends, that's the power of his prayer. The power of his prayer. When heaven opened, he made the intercession. We're feeling the effects right up to today. The power of his intercession. And that's what we need. We need to pray for one another. He wasn't just praying for himself in that season of life. There were other seasons he prayed for himself. When he got to Gethsemane, he was praying for himself. This was now the darkest hour. This was now the greatest of all trials. And again, he chose the place carefully. He went to Gethsemane. It was a place that had so many sacred memories to him. He knew every one of those olive trees. He knew every part of that garden. He had spent so many hours there in prayer. He had spent maybe nights there in prayer. So when now it came time for the greatest battle of affliction in his life, the great battle, the great decision, he chose Gethsemane. And he went to that place that he knew, this place. It had so many memories. He knew the places he had kneeled before and met God. He knew the places he had prevailed in prayer so many times. And friends, that's the wonderful thing about having a place spiritually, a certain place or naturally where you go to meet the Lord. And that place has been consecrated to you. That's a sacred place to you. The prophet says it may be kneeling by a chair. It says it may be out in your car somewhere. It may be whatever place it is that God leads you to. You may not be able to pray all night because maybe that's not how God has made you. Maybe you can pray all day. Maybe you can rise up early before everybody else wakes up. Maybe you start praying when everyone else goes to sleep. Each and every one of us have to find a system. You've got to find some place giving the Lord that choice portion of the day. That place we're not just tired and weary and we're giving him second best. But we know this is a sacred thing. I need to approach him in this sacred place. And the prophet says you'll meet him on those sacred sands. And he says he'll do something for you on those sacred sands that all the devils in hell will never be able to take that from you. He'll put an absolute in your experience. He'll put an anchor inside of your soul. He'll do something for you. And he'll put something inside of your experience that you'll come from there and you'll say, I know my Redeemer lives. And I know the way to reach the throne of grace. I know the way. He's opened the way to me. He's ministered an entrance. And friends, once somebody knows that, it doesn't matter where they go in life. You can go to the Isle of Patmos. You can go to a den of lions. You can go right down there to the fiery furnace. You can come to our age where there's going to be a squeeze and it's going to come onto a mark of the beast and there's coming a tribulation period for the foolish virgin. You know, you get to whatever circumstances, whatever situation. But once somebody's soul knows the way to that secret place, that person's fine. You don't have to worry about that person. Your flesh may fail, David says. Your heart may fail, David says. But God is the strength of your heart. And you know the way. You know the way to that place where there's prevailing power. You know the way to the place where the atmosphere changes. You know the way to the place where God gives you what it is that you need. Where he ministers the wisdom. He ministers the power for service. He ministers whatever you need in your experience. And friends, let's not go any further in our Christian lives if we don't know that. Don't put anything else ahead of that. Don't put your studies ahead of that. Don't put anything ahead of that. Even learning of the message. Don't try to learn the message, friends. The greatest time you're going to have in the message is when you're in prayer. That's when the real understanding of spiritual things is revealed to you, is in the atmosphere of prayer. When you pray and then you open up the message, it's going to be completely different to you. Heaven's going to be opened. The dove is going to descend. And the final thing, when Jesus was baptized, what did the voice say? This is my beloved son. Friends, if you're discouraged, if you're disappointed, whatever it is, from reproach, from whatever you've been going through, the accusation of the enemy, the best remedy, get yourself to that place. And let that voice come and speak to you and say, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. That's the antidote to all that the world has to say. To all the disappointments of this life is hearing from him in that secret place. And Jesus approached it that way. The prophet says he came and never used any of the great spiritual gifts that he had to overcome. But he used exactly the things that we have at our disposal. He used the very things so that we can look at him and say, if he did that, I can do the same thing. Friends, and one of the most powerful things, one of the most powerful weapons given to the sons and daughters of men is prayer. Genuine prayer. Prayer within the closet. Prayer when you shut the door and you get down to business with God. And you stay there. And the atmosphere changes. And the power of transformation changes you. And you come from that place and the birds sing different. The circumstances are exactly the same, but something's changed in you. Maybe you went in with fear. You went in with discouragement. You'd already made your mind up about your future. The power of transformation will transform all of that. And you'll come from there and you'll see everything different. You'll see things the way that He sees things, friends. And that is the key. If you find any saint who's been long in the Lord and has prevailed and overcome, if you go and ask them, they'll never say it's any of their own human ability. It's the grace of God. And one of the surest ways of availing, of benefiting of the grace of God is through your prayer life. So much of God's grace will be ministered to you through prayer. And friends, without a prayer life, I'm telling you the truth, you're not going to be very much of a believer. You might be justified by faith, but you're never going to go through sanctification. You're never going to go to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're never going to get to adoption. Because another time of prayer, we're not going to get to it, but when Jesus took his disciples to a high mountain apart to pray. And while he was praying, the cloud came down. And he was transformed before his disciples. That's where the power of transformation is. Is when you get in that dimension that heaven comes down and does something inside of your soul. That's the power of transformation. That's when he does something for us. So friends, as we come to prayer this evening, let's remember that. It's good for us to pray this evening to help each other. The principles of prayer, but the real prayer doesn't finish here, friends. The real prayer is when you go home. The real prayer is tomorrow. The real prayer is when you rise up on Sunday morning and you put your alarm 1 hour earlier than normal and say, today, I'm going to pray. I'm going to consecrate myself before I go to the house of the Lord. I want to go there anointed. I want to go there prepared inside of my soul. I want a spiritual, fertile heart. So when the seed of the word is sown, I'll conceive as Mary conceived. And I will bring forth of whatever it is that God wants me to bring forth. Friends, the battle is won before the actual event. It wasn't Joshua in the valley that won the battle. It was Moses up on the mountain prayer. When he got tired in prayer, then they started to lose the victory down in the valley. And friends, I so do appreciate the saints in this church who fast and pray for this church. I know them. And may God bless them. There's saints who lay aside food, who lay aside water for days and fast and pray for this church, for God to raise us up. And when you find God starting to raise us up the way that he is, it's not, friends, because of us standing here in the pulpit. It's those people praying behind the scenes. It's those people who are raising up their hands and making that intercession. And the blessing comes down in the valley. And then you find those who are handling the sword and those that are handling the spear and the shield. There's a supernatural quickening. There's a supernatural protection. There's something that gives them a certain edge over the enemies. And they prevailed and they overcome. And friends, it's never going to change. If they needed to pray like that in the days gone by, how much more in this age that we're living in, friends? The great apostasy, the great falling away, false doctrine, false prophets, false Christ, great deception everywhere. Coming to a persecution. We see the governments and all the things that are taking place. The world is falling apart. Friends, just make sure you've got Jesus in your heart. That you've met him in a real way. That you've got an absolute. That you've got an anchor. That although the ship is battered, but the anchor is going to hold within the veil. That's what we need. Saints, let's stand. Let's come to a time of prayer. Does anybody have any requests before we put ourselves before the Lord in prayer? Let's pray for Brother Francois. He's been invited by Brother George Quinn to preach in Donegal on Sunday. May the Lord bless him. And I've already asked him to take our greetings there to the saints that are there. So please pray for the brother. Pray for Brother David. He's going to visit the saints tomorrow in Carlo. So we really are praying that the Lord will give them a wonderful time there and help those saints that are there. Amen. Brother George is speaking to a Palestinian. So let's pray that the Lord may really open his heart. Anybody else? Brother Jovenis, let's pray for Brother Jovenis as well. He's agreed to do the service on Sunday. It's taken the whole week. for the brother. I said, brother, please, you go and pray and ask God what he wants you to do, because the brother wanted a holiday, so we really do appreciate it. But let's pray for Brother Virgus as well, because it's just as important, because Brother Virgus has to interpret. You know, so the interpreter is just as important as the minister. So we really pray for God's grace and his quickening power there. And in all saints, otherwise let's put ourselves before the Lord in prayer.
Sweet hour of praise, sweet hour of praise that calls me from the world of care. My Father's throne, my wants and wishes move in seasons of distress. Sweet hour, oh, praise. Sweet hour,
sweet hour,
oh, praise. Sweet hour, oh, praise.
Thy wings
shall. With song desire.
Bids me seek his face. Our friends, he invites us to seek his face. Let's also seek his face for Sister Nachiza. She's coming back on Sunday. Let's pray for a safe journey back home. Let's pray for Brother Vlad flying on this week. I think on Wednesday he's traveling. Is it Brother Vlad? Tuesday, Wednesday? Yes, let's pray for him as well. Pray for Sister Lydia there as well. Let them have a good time before they come back, friends. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's put ourselves before the Lord. Let's pray for the services. Pray for ourselves. Whatever the Lord lays upon your heart, let's come unto the throne of grace. Father, what a privilege that it is that we...
Father, we gladly come before thee again. Lord, what a blessed time, Father, to come. Lord, Father, only Lord, after this word, Lord. Father, Lord, what a blessed word ministered unto us, Lord, in upon this time. Father, you are faithful, you are good. Lord, Father, we came, Lord, with expectation this night, Lord. Father, Lord, and you've given us, Lord, in the mirror of your words, a reflection of prayer. How we desire, Lord, Savior, to reflect Christ. Father, even in the time of this, Lord, Father, that we, Lord, Savior, when we come, Lord, even upon Sunday, Lord, Savior, God, let us come, Lord, Savior, with gladness, Lord, with boldness, Lord, with, Lord, Savior, Father, Lord, great expectation, Lord, we pray, Lord, even upon this hour. And in preparation, we ask, even upon this time, Lord, Savior, God. Father, shepherd us, Jesus, we pray. Grant us, Lord, Father, as we are constantly a needy people, Lord, Savior, for that sweet hour of prayer. Father, we are so in need of thee, O God. Give us, Lord, Father, unction, we pray. Even at this dying time, Father, we pray. Look unto thee, Lord, asking for thy grace and mercy.
Brother Jose, would you mind coming to pray for us, brother? If you don't mind prayer, we'd be very happy for that. One of the big things we need, saints, as well is, excuse me, let's remember about our church moving. I'm sure everybody's been praying about that, but let's really put that as a petition before the Lord. There's certain places which are available, but they're really expensive. But there's certain places like €1,500 a month and so forth. So, you know, there are places, but we really need the grace of God to give us a place we can afford. You know, so let's put it before the Lord once again this week. I really do believe the Lord will help us on that to find just the right place that we need. And as we said, saints, we don't have to look in the city center. Very few people live in the city center. You know, if you look around the airport, look around Swords, look around, you know, even Blanche, around those places, there's no need for everyone to travel all the time to the city center through the traffic and back out again. If you did find a place out there, it's fine. You know, whatever the Lord would desire for us. So really, let's keep that one in prayer. Thanks, Brother Jose, if you'd close for us. Thanks, bro.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we bless your holy name. We thank you again, once again, for gathering us this evening around the throne of grace to hear your word. It's such a privilege for us to be here this evening to hear things that you have chosen to hide through the great man, to the great man of this world. How we bless your holy name and we worship we would like to praise your name because of the grace that you bestowed upon us this evening. Lord Father, to hear these things that will keep us in such an evil and wicked generation. While people are doing things that they think that they please their to please their own hearts. Amen, they're Lord. Passing laws that are against your word and forgetting yes, that Lord. you sent us to live in this world for one purpose is yes, to Lord. Show to the world that we're here to praise your name. Hallelujah. And we're here to show yes, that you are God. Amen. And you can deliver, you can live mighty in our midst. Lord Father, I bless your holy name, and yes, I like to commit every request that has been presented this yes, evening Lord. In your hand. Amen. Some of us will be traveling, Lord God. Yes, I Lord. Pray that you grant them traveling mercy. Please, until Lord. We meet again, we will bless and worship your holy name again.
Yes, Lord
Father, some that are sick, Amen. It's only the science might call it disease or sickness, but we know that it's the devil who is yes, trying yes, to Lord. To, yes, to take away the peace that you have bestowed upon us.
Yes,
but
Lord.
We know that through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the Calvary, every disease, every sickness has been taken away, and we'd like to come this evening to claim our healing
yes,
in Jesus
Lord.
Christ's name.
Amen.
Lord yes, Father, Lord. I pray for this church. Amen. You have chosen to bring us from different places. Every one of us was living without even knowing that one day this evening we will be meeting here as
Amen,
a group as a group of Christian people to worship your name,
yes,
your name. But Father, it was in your great plan, because nothing happens by chance to any one of us here.
Yes, Lord.
It was your great plan that we meet here.
Amen.
Lord Father, despite everything that we might be going through, despite
yes,
the devil might bring might try to bring differences among us,
yes,
but
Lord.
We know that your word has kept us together,
yes,
and
you,
your
Lord.
Peace still is dwelling in our midst. That's
Thank
why
you,
we'd like to praise your holy name.
Yes, Lord
Father, this evening we pray that you keep us together again as we look.
Yes, Lord.
We're trying
yes,
to
Lord.
Get another place to worship your holy name.
Yes, Lord.
Lord Father, when you gave us this place, we bless your holy name,
yes,
and
Lord.
We praise you because of this such a wonderful place that you have
Amen.
Given us.
Yes,
and
Lord.
It has been consecrated so that we each time we meet here we can meet with you
yes,
and
Lord.
Praise your holy
yes,
name.
Lord, yes,
now
Lord,
that
yes, Lord,
things
yes,
have
Lord.
Changed and against our own will, you yeah. know the reason why.
Amen.
And maybe you have another thing, another place that you have installed for we have kept in for us.
Yes,
but
Lord.
We'd like to ask your
Please,
guidance
Lord.
So
yes,
that we
Lord.
Can find Guide that place that will be consecrated again for
yes,
to bless your holy name. I commit the service on Sunday in your holy name,
Amen.
In your hands. Lord Father, we don't come here to show each other or to meet, to see each other or to
Amen.
Show off, but we come here to praise and to hear from you,
because yes,
we
Lord.
Know that in such an evil and wicked generation, the only thing that can keep us through is your word.
Yes,
That's
Lord.
Why we commit the person that you'll be using to stand here
Amen.
To speak
yes, Lord.
Will be speaking right from your throne and your presence
Please, Lord.
So that
Please,
he can
Lord.
Administer to us the word of life.
Amen.
Now that we've come to the end of this service,
Amen.
I commit everyone in your hand as we'll be going home. Lord Father, I pray that your traveling mercy
Please,
will
Lord.
Keep us until we meet again. I commit this prayer in your hand. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Brother Silvanus wants to come and preach. If you remember, a few months ago we had a special prayer meeting for the saints in Donetsk and in Ukraine, eastern Ukraine. So Brother Zhivna said he was speaking to them just before coming here and asking us to really pray for those saints that are there. It's not easy. You know, things have got pretty bad there once again. Let's keep remembering them in prayer. Let's put them before the Lord now. Father, we think of our precious brothers that are there, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we think, Lord, of them and their desire just to worship Thee in peace. Father, just to have a place, Lord, that they can go from their homes, Father, to worship Thee. Father, not to worry about their lives, not to worry about their family and their
Amen.
Children, not to worry about food and electricity and things like that.
Amen.
Father, you see this situation, you see this condition.
Hallelujah.
Father, we know how faithful that you've been already, Lord,
Amen.
To minister grace unto them. So once again, we ask of thee, Lord, in your supernatural way, that you'll minister special grace unto each and every one of those believers, Lord. We pray your hand of protection upon each and every one, Lord. Father, from the youngest to the oldest, in Jesus' name, Lord, we'd ask and pray. And Father, whatsoever the devil would desire to do for evil, Lord, Father, may you turn it around for your glory victory, and let it be done for your good, Lord, we ask and pray. And Father, in the midst of those afflictions, Lord, in the midst of those trials, Father, grant them special communion, we ask and pray. Grant them a special measure of grace, Lord, knowing that when the enemy comes in, Father, you've promised to raise up a standard, Lord. How good you've been to them, Lord. Bless your people that are there, we ask and pray. Minister grace, Lord, unto them. Show them the way. Lead them and guide them, Lord. Help them in that situation, Lord, we had asked, Lord. Father, they do need you. Father, we do bring them before thee, Lord. Father, we know they're having a foretaste of what's coming upon this age, Lord. And Father, though at this season we may have peace, O Lord, but Father, we know not what the future holds. So Father, we pray for them, Lord. And Father, we know that the same grace that keeps them will be the same grace that will keep us, Lord. Father, won't you just have mercy, Lord? You do pray for your people, your bride, Lord. You do pray for the saints in Donegal that you'll bless them on Sunday. Be, Lord, even with Brother Francois, bless the journey there, Lord. And Father, may you help us to renew sweet fellowship there with them, Lord. We'd ask and pray. Father, Lord, just to, Lord, overcome everything, Lord, we'd pray. Brother Billy and the saints that are there, I do pray for them, Lord, in Belfast. Brother Tom, bless them, Lord. We think of the saints that are with us. Father, Brother Howard there now preaching, Lord, in Germany. I pray that you'll bless him, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the blessing that was ministered unto us upon the weekend, Lord. Father, our young people going for the convention, Lord. I pray, Lord, let it be a day of Pentecost, Lord, is our desire. Father, Lord, as they gather, Lord, Father, help them to prepare themselves even at this time, Lord. And Father, as they go, Lord, may the heavens be opened unto them, Lord. Father, may the dove descend upon them inside of their souls. May you quicken them and help them, Lord. Father, I pray that you lead them and guide them, Lord, that the power of transformation, Lord, would be so real unto them that when they'd come back, their mothers and their fathers would look at them and say, surely the Lord has done a mighty thing unto my son. Amen. Or the Lord has done a mighty thing unto my daughter. Father, our sister traveling on Sunday, Sister Nachiza, we pray your grace. Father, we pray your mercy upon her. Bring her safely back. Brother Vlad, when he had go, grant him traveling mercies. Father, Lord, may he be a blessing there where he had go. Give him a good rest, Lord. And Father, bring them back for your glory, Lord. Give them good fellowship with the saints that are there. I do pray for them as well, Lord. And every other need, Brother David, as he'd go tomorrow to visit the new saints in Carlo, I pray your special blessing upon him, Lord. I pray that your strengthen him, Lord, physically. I pray that you'll clothe him supernaturally, Lord. I pray that you'll give him wisdom and grace and mercy and leadership, Lord. And help those saints that are there, Lord, we pray that they may be established in the present truth, Lord. That, Father, you would lead them and guide them to that place, Lord. That they may be so anchored in Christ, Lord, that no matter what would come in days and times, Lord, in the future, but, Father, Lord, they'd be sealed away in thee. Visit those saints, we pray. Have mercy upon them, Lord. Father, overshadow them, brood over them, Lord, as we go from this place. Give us traveling mercies, Lord. We'd ask and pray, watch over us, Lord. The saints that haven't managed to come upon this evening, we pray for each and every one of them, Lord. Every one of the families, every one of the single people, Lord. We pray your special grace and mercy and blessing upon them upon this night, Lord. That, Father, you would quicken them in the new day and bring us together in your house on Sunday with Brother Gilvinus, Lord, as he administer. I want to ask of thee, Lord, Father, clothe him, Lord, with the garments of salvation, Lord, is our desire. Father, Lord, let the dove come down, Lord. Let the dove overshadow and quicken him, Lord. And even as Brother Virgus would interpret, Lord, Father, help him, Lord, even at this time, Lord. And Father, may he lay himself aside, Lord. And Father, may you just anoint him, Father, that you may bring forth your mind and your thoughts unto us, Lord. How we need thee, Heavenly Father, day by day. Every other situation that we'd have, Lord, we bring it up unto thee, Lord. Father, we look unto thee for your wisdom. We look unto thee, Lord. You are the comforter. You are the guide. Father, you are all in all. Go before and lead us and guide us. Bless us as we go. Bring us back to our homes in peace. Even the mothers and the children at home, we pray for them as well, Lord. Bless them, we ask, Lord. And the new people who visited us, Lord, we pray for them as well. Father, Lord, we do thank you, Father, to bless the people that were baptized on the weekend as well. As, Father, we commit ourselves to, as we dismiss in your precious name. Amen. 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 Saints, God bless you.
I believe the good report. Hallelujah to his name. Oh, glory to his name. Hallelujah. never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. I'm a king and priest to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Cleansing of the blood. Oh, glory be to God. By the Spirit, power and light, I am living day and night in the glorious place so bright. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have passed the river cold, where the glories never fail. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am living in the presence of the King. Past the outer veil, hallelujah to the Lamb, which the God in light conceal. Oh, glory be to God, and the blood has brought me in. Oh, open and clean, the clean. It is light and life from sin. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I have passed the river.